What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
Well, 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 let's have a look at this story in the Courier-Mail today. Four in five Queenslanders, 80% dissatisfied with the state government's handling of crime and cost of living issues. Now, this is a previously secret taxpayer-funded polling. Now, this was handed to Anastasia Palaszczuk 5 days before she quit. It's the timing that's being focused on as being critically important here. This was the one that may have tipped her over the edge. That's the hint in this article, because this was given to her 5 days before she quit. Now, the waves of polling costing taxpayers $400,000 tracked the sentiments of Queenslanders and helped guide the government's decision-making. While Ms. Palaszczuk had refused to release the results, claiming the polling was not political, Stephen Miles yesterday made public 5 reports handed to his predecessor, the 5th wave of research given to Ms. Palaszczuk December 5, just before she resigned as Premier, was devastating reading for the government. This is an interesting insight into how our leaders make their decisions. And hers was to walk away. It found Queenslanders' satisfaction with the government on almost every issue was down since the polling began in May. Key measures: being a trustworthy government, managing population and economic growth, and making houses more affordable. And voters were increasingly unhappy, and Anastasia Palaszczuk resigned 5 days later. They do add this: bowing to union pressure and mounting internal questions about her leadership. And these matters always turn to the man who's got his finger on the pulse in all these developments, Associate Professor of Politics, Journalism, Griffith University, Dr. Paul Williams. Good morning. Paul, this is a very interesting insight into the impact these surveys may or may not have. I mean, clearly there'd been surveys hinting along the same lines coming in for some time, but this one seems to have put the Premier over the edge. She's bitten the bullet and said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there, John. It's not so much what the surveys are saying, that particular survey. We all knew most Queenslanders were unhappy with law and order and hospital ramping and cost of living. That's a no-brainer. There's no surprises in the actual numbers, although the numbers are pretty high. But as you say, it's the fact that this survey, or perhaps one in a series of surveys, has proven to be a tipping point in the former Premier's fortunes. Now, we haven't got a smoking gun as such. We can't point to it with 100% certainty and say this was the document that tipped particularly United Workers and Gary Bullock and other people who would have been influential in tapping the Premier on the shoulder last December.
Yes.
But, you know, you'd think it would be increasingly likely that or a high probability that this would have been the straw that broke the camel's back, really convinced power brokers inside the Labor Party and outside the caucus, importantly. So it's not just, listeners would know, it's just not the MPs decide who's going to be the next Labor leader, but it's also the unions and also the rank and file in the mums and dads in the suburban branches. But it's, you're quite right, the fact that this sort of polling does shape party fortunes, and governments do, and oppositions too, when they commission their own polling, but they have to pay for it themselves. It does shape things that they do. We saw that the Palaszczuk government used polling during COVID, and fortuitously for them, the polling said, we like your tough border stance. But obviously, this polling has come back unfavourably. You know, all state premiers do it. The federal government does it. Federal oppositions do it. But the key point here, as I think I said at the time, is that I don't personally see anything wrong with them commissioning these polls. But I think if taxpayers' money is used, the public must be kept informed.
Yes, because they can claim ownership. They paid the $400,000 for that information.
Absolutely. And look, it's an easy sell too, John. I mean, the government can say, we've spent $400,000 because we are a listening government. We want to know what you think.
Yeah.
And here's what you've said, and this is how we're going to improve it. It's actually good PR, if they actually framed it that way.
Look at some of the information. This one, front and centre, on tackling crime, a significant pain point for the government. 84% of respondents said they were dissatisfied with Ms. Palaszczuk and the government's handling of it. 84% is a tidal wave.
Yeah, look, but a lot of those figures are pretty woeful. I'll tell you something else I saw in that article, John, that I think is a real sleeper that no one's commenting on yet, is that a majority of Queenslanders are unhappy with the Labor government. At least then, we've got to remember this was a snapshot under Palaszczuk, so it may be different under Miles. Probably not that much different. But under Palaszczuk, it's a bit of a shock to see that a majority of Queenslanders disapproved of handling of health and education issues. Now, these are always strong points for state Labor governments. They almost always outstrip conservative parties almost always outstrip Labor in economic management, national security, but on things like bread and butter issues like health and education, Labor usually does better. So the fact that Labor is trailing the opposition on health and education, I think, is almost as stunning as the law and order stuff or the cost of living stuff, which suggests that, you know, the electorate is starting to look at this government as a tired government. So it's, I think the jaded voter is looking at the government holistically and thinking that it's looking a bit tired. That's a much bigger problem to overcome than putting band-aids on law and order, hospital ramping, cost of living, etc.
Band-aids on law and order, it can't go on like this. Look, this was yesterday's Courier Mail. Frontline police officers are calling in sick, refusing to go out in marked police cars. They don't want to walk the streets at night out of fear of being targeted by young criminals. It goes on in this article to read, a senior police officer said that crews were often afraid to go to work. These are police crews, out of fear of being rammed by a stolen car. They're not game to walk down the street now. They're going to be targeted and bashed. 332 police. We're 332 less police out on the beat than we had this time last year. They are leaving the force in droves. This is potentially catastrophic. Of course, now the front page of today's Courier Mail is fundamentally calling for urgent attention at the top level. Police Commissioner Katerina Carroll's facing open revolt with rumblings growing of a no-confidence motion from exhausted cops fed up with fighting an uphill battle against youth crime. Where's it going to end?
Well, I think, you know, all the indications are, as we've said on this program many a time, all the indications are that the Labor government will come to grief at the October state election. That's where it will end. And there will be more announcements on law and order between from the government between now and October. You know, law and order will feature front and centre in the budget, and it also in the 4 weeks before, you know, in the campaign proper. You know, so we can expect the campaign to build up late September, you know, and then I think it's October 26th we go to the polls, and then we'll see the LNP opposition offer its own view. But I really, again, I'm still looking for evidence that the government can turn this around. I'm still keen to see a poll on primary vote and after preference vote for where the major parties are, but I haven't seen any really hard evidence on the ground that the government can, you know, win a majority, win a fourth term. It's looking increasingly likely that the LNP will be able to form government, albeit it could be a minority government. Anecdotally, people are saying that Stephen Miles, as I said before, Stephen Miles has performed better than anyone expected, although they didn't expect much from him. But, you know, again, it's now that the parliamentary week has started, you know, the gloves are coming off. Cost of living pressures, you know, aren't going to cut, despite the fact interest rates have stabilised, inflation is coming down. We're not going to see any relief at the checkout for some time. So, you know, in other words, there's too much to do between now and October, I think, for any government to be able to turn this around. So that's where it's probably going to end, John, that we'll probably almost certainly see a change of government in October on current standings. And then the ball is in the LNP court.
Interesting. I heard Councillor Mareeba yesterday, of course, up there, they've got the same issue. Police being pursued by stolen cars, rammed by these kids in stolen cars as they desperately get back to their police stations for cover. But the point he made was, duty of care these days, you've got employers very much under pressure, very conscious of the legal responsibilities under duty of care. You've now got police, obviously, they'll be queuing up for mental health checks, given the pressure they're under. They're terrified of going to work, of being pursued by these stolen cars, etc. And he brought up an interesting point. As the employer, the Queensland government is now going to be under pressure because of the number of police seeking, for example, mental health care, emergency treatment perhaps after some of these attacks, whatever. It added a whole new level of challenge for this Queensland government to face up to, because we've now got all these numbers of police leaving the force. You've now got people taking off their jobs. They're sitting at home waiting to be reinstated, they would hope, etc. It's a whole new dimension, Paul, that I would imagine Queensland Police, indeed the Queensland Government, hasn't had to embrace and take on board in the past.
Well, I've certainly never heard... Yes, I think you're right, John. I mean, you're right. I mean, there would be a duty of care. I'm not an industrial relations lawyer, so I can't say for certain, but one would think that there would be legal ramifications and duty of care and potential liabilities and payouts, compensation, etc., for all these types of hazards.
Yes.
You know, it's just natural justice, surely. But, you know, you're quite right that there's... You know, we've heard rumblings for a long time. The numbers have probably been kept close to the government chest in terms of numbers of police resigning,
yes,
or leaving or retiring, etc. Mm. But we know that, you know, I have heard from several places that there is a campaign to recruit police officers in order to counter that wave. And it is really, this is really unheard of, isn't it? When you talk about, you know, police has always been considered a respectable, solid career. And, you know, reports that police are afraid to do their job. We're really in uncharted territory. And again, this is just more evidence that the government has really got a huge PR problem on its hands and how it's managing the basic essentials that Labor governments are normally applauded for. So it's this is something that Stephen Miles needs to be, I think, much more aggressive. I mean, he has stepped up his game, as I wrote in the Courier Mail a couple of weeks ago, that he has become more confident. But I think he needs to get angry. He needs to get almost aggressive. And in terms, whatever it is, whether it be health or law and order, he needs to be able to show a bit of muscle and really start pulling, start banging heads together, whether they be cabinet colleague heads, public service heads, community group heads, whatever it is, he needs to show the strong leader that Queenslanders so respect.
That's summed it up. The anger and aggression needs to be there. And the other term you just used, and really it's spot on. This is so much uncharted territory, Paul. Thank you for this today. Dr. Paul Williams, Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University.